Hi, for those that don't know me, my name is John South, and I've been attached to this parish for some 20-odd years in one form or another. It's my privilege to be here to open up God's word to you this morning. Let's just pray for a moment. Gracious Lord, we do thank you for your word. We pray that you will open it to us, that we might understand what it is you have to say to us. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Wondering if you've got any heroes, are there people in your lives that you consider to be real heroes? I'm not going to take responses for that, but I wonder if you've ever met a real hero. And I suppose I don't mean the sort you see on television, movie stars and the people that occupy our screens all the time. They seem to be self-appointed heroes in most cases. And I don't mean your average footballer, who I know that some people see as heroes, but regardless of whatever code they might follow, most of them don't look too heroic to me. I've met a proper hero, someone who's put their life on the line for others, and it was some time ago, and I met a guy called Bill Speakman. Bill Speakman was an army sergeant, and he earned himself a Victoria Cross, which most of you will know is the highest honour given for bravery in the face of the enemy. And Bill had been awarded the Victoria Cross after the Battle of the Imjin River, which is in Korea, as part of the Korean War, often referred to as the Forgotten War by people in this country. Bill was serving with the 1st Battalion, the Gloucestershire Regiment, and that regiment had fought off hordes upon hordes, wave upon wave, of communist Chinese soldiers who were seeking to find a way through to attack the capital of South Korea, the city we know as Seoul. That pass, the pass where these soldiers were stationed, had to be held to prevent the invasion of South Korea, and the Gloucesters had the job of protecting that area. And in that conflict, they suffered over 200 casualties in the space of 24 hours. After the battle, when the Chinese forces had had enough and withdrawn, there were a little over 1,200 communist Chinese who had died on the battlefield that day. So you can tell it was a pretty big battle. Nobody knows why the Chinese forces chucked it in and withdrew. I've often seen it as an act of God, because the garrison of the Gloucestershire Regiment were pretty close to being overwhelmed. Bill Speakman was the battalion cook. He was a cook sergeant. And during that battle that lasted for more than 24 hours, Bill Speakman not only cooked food, but took dixies of hot food around the defence perimeter as the battle raged, putting his life at risk as he did so. And at one time, the perimeter was overrun by the Chinese forces, and Bill Speakman stood on a parapet, and having run out of ammunition, he threw empty beer bottles and cans of compo rations at the Chinese and managed to drive them off. That's real courage. Real courage. I might say the rumour was that he was the one that had emptied the bottles of beer at the time, but I can't really comment on that. But for this great act of gallantry, Bill was awarded the Victoria Cross. And it was some years later, when I was a young soldier in the British Army, and I was on guard at an army camp in Hampshire. And Bill Speakman had been invited to attend a warrant officer's and sergeant's mess dinner as the guest of honour. And the CO staff car had been sent off to pick him up from the station, and as a guard for the day, we would have followed a long-standing military tradition that when the holder of a Victorian Cross enters a unit lines, then the guard is turned out for his inspection. It's a great honour and something that doesn't happen very often. And so when the main gate sentry indicated that the staff car was coming with this VC holder in the back, the guard turned out. I was one of them. We were formed up for inspection. And the order was given, general salute, present arms. And that's what we did. I might say it's the only time, apart from military funerals, when a general salute is given to somebody who isn't of staff rank or higher. That's a major or above. Bill Speakman got out of the car, and to be honest, he didn't look much like a hero. By this time, he was in his 40s, and he too was getting a bit round at the waist. I quickly gathered the impression that on the train down from London, he'd been in the restaurant car and had a couple of stubbies as well. He didn't look like a hero. To see the hero in him, you'd have to have known who he was and what he'd done. And I want to tell you that the day that Jesus went to Jerusalem for the Feast of the Tabernacles, he was being very, very brave. Our gospel reading today starts off by saying, when Jesus began to speak in the temple courts, some of the people asked, isn't this the man they are trying to kill? And they were. But Jesus, knowing that the Jewish leaders had already planned to have him killed, went fearlessly into what we might call the lion's den, and there he began to teach the people, teach about who he was and where he had come from. And you can tell from the reading in John's Gospel that there was a lot of confusion about who Jesus was, who Jesus is, and the lack of action by some of the same Jewish leaders, because it says here he is speaking publicly and they're not saying a word to him. Have the authorities really concluded that he is the Christ? He is the Messiah. You see, the general public were confused about who Jesus was, and it seems that the religious hierarchy of that day were also confused about it. They certainly seemed reluctant to act against him publicly, despite the claims that he'd been making, because he just said, prior to our reading today, my teaching is not my own, it comes from him who sent me. If anyone chooses to do God's will, he will find out whether my teaching comes from God or whether I speak on my own. And so in saying even that, he was actually claiming to speak for God, which implies that he considered himself to be some kind of prophet. And yet he goes on. Yes, you know me and you know where I am from. I am not here on my own, but he who sent me is true. You do not know him, but I know him because I am from him and he sent me. And so Jesus was not only claiming to speak for God, but claiming that he'd come from God, that he was God in the flesh amongst them there that day. And that's when the Pharisees tried to have him arrested. And the silly thing is that throughout this passage, the understanding of who Jesus is seems to depend on where he'd come from. And the argument goes on throughout our reading. At the start, one of the common people said, we know where this man is from. When the Christ comes, no one will know where he's from. And later, it said, how can the Christ come from Galilee? Does not the scripture say that the Christ will come from David's family and from Bethlehem, the town where David lived? But of course they didn't realize that although Jesus had been brought up in Galilee, which is in the northern part of Israel, he'd actually been born, as we all know, in Bethlehem. And that was a deliberate act of God, because it fulfills the prophecy of Micah, who wrote, but you, Bethlehem, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be a ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. You see, the people there that day needed to know Jesus. They needed to know his ancestry. They needed to know his origins to come to some sort of understanding of just who Jesus was. And even right at the end of our reading this morning, the Pharisees responded to this guy Nicodemus by saying, are you from Galilee too? Look into it and you'll find that the prophet does not come out of Galilee. And I do wonder if it would have made any difference if they'd actually realized that Jesus had been born in Bethlehem in fulfillment of several prophecies. Somehow I doubt it. But the question they faced, both the populace and the Jewish leaders that day, is the same question that each one of us is faced with. Just who is this Jesus? Now, we know that some people in the temple that day thought that he was a prophet, perhaps even the prophet, by which they would have meant Moses, somehow reincarnated amongst them. Some thought that he might be the Messiah, the Christ, the promised one of God. And so you get that incredulous sort of question in there. When the Christ comes, can he possibly do more miraculous things than this man? Because they'd seen this man do lots of miraculous things. They'd seen all of the sort of things that Jesus was doing. Now, the temple guards who were sent to arrest Jesus hadn't seen him do anything very much. They'd just been sent along to pick him up. They didn't do so. And when they got back to the Jewish leaders, the Pharisees asked the guards, why didn't you bring him in? And they said, no one has ever spoken the way this man speaks. And so when it comes down to it, the evidence as to who Jesus is comes down to what he did and what he said. And we also need to know where he comes from, not from Bethlehem in particular, but the fact that he comes from God. And I don't want to make excuses for the Pharisees and the religious leaders, but few of them would have had the whole story. They'd seen some things that they couldn't explain, and they'd heard Jesus say things that would have completely rocked their boat. Particularly when he was castigating them, these religious leaders, for their failings as religious leaders. They failed to promote God amongst the people. They failed to care for the people. It's interesting that at the end of our reading today, they had to resort to their reliance on the law and their own understanding as leaders of the people. And instead of seeing clearly what Jesus had actually done and listening carefully to what Jesus was saying, they hid behind what they did understand. Has any one of the Pharisees or the rulers believed in him? No. But this mob that knows nothing of the law, there is a curse on them. And so by hiding behind their own understanding and their own interpretation of the law, the curse of being eternally separated from God would actually be upon them, these Pharisees, these religious leaders. But I want to tell you that we have the whole story. We know who Jesus is because he fulfilled every prophecy in the Bible about the Messiah, some 136 of them. The chances of that happening by chance are so remote as to be completely out of order. We know where Jesus was born in fulfillment of that prophecy. We know what Jesus did from the record of his life that has been so carefully preserved for us throughout the centuries. We know who Jesus is because of the record of what he said and his claims to be the Son of the living God. And I've got to tell you that some people don't want to hear this. They don't want to hear who Jesus is. They don't want to understand. They will hide behind any excuse. They're quite comfortable with who they are living in the world. They're quite comfortable hiding behind their own intellect. Because we all know that miracles don't happen. We all know that God couldn't make himself present on earth, don't we? We all know that, unless, of course, it's absolutely true. We need to listen carefully to what Jesus said, for this is the truth. If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. And these words were spoken to all those who could hear, and it is for all those who hear and understand. Those who believe in him, those who know who he is, are filled with living water. And a part of that is the promise of God's Spirit living within us. But listen to the words of his words to the Pharisees. I am with you for only a short time, and then I go to the one who sent me. You will look for me, but you will not find me, and where I am, you cannot come. Jesus knew who he was, and he knew where he'd come from. He also knew where he was going, to be put to death and rise up again before returning to his heavenly Father. But there's a warning, because those who deny who he is might want to know a little bit about him, but if they deny who he is, they aren't going to be able to go to where he's gone. There's a warning for all of us in that, if we deny who Jesus is. Jesus knew that there in Jerusalem, he would face torment and death, but with great courage, he went forward to meet it, pouring out living water on all those who believed then and all those who believe now. Bill Speakman got a cross for what he did, a Victoria cross. It was made out of bronze, out of a couple of Russian cannons that were captured in the Crimean War, as every Victoria cross is. He was a pretty simple kind of bloke, but winning that award brought him great honour and great social standing, as perhaps it should have done. Jesus, he who is the Messiah, got a cross for what he did. It was made out of rough timber, and it was a sign of shame and dishonour. But God glorified him through it and raised him to a place which is above every place and above every name, even our modern day heroes, to a place where at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We sang earlier that Jesus is coming back, and he is. I'm going to be there simply because I believe and trust in Jesus. I'd like to know that all you are going to be there as well. Book of Revelation speaks about white robes and waving palm branches. Make a change for me, 37 years in the army, I wave guns around a lot. But it will be different. Jesus is coming back. And I'm going to be a part of the Guard of Honour. And you're all invited to be there as well. And all it takes is to believe and trust in Jesus. We don't have too many heroes today, but Jesus is my hero because he was willing to give up his life for me and each one of you. Our response must be to give our lives up to him, because in that way we know where we're going. We can go to the place where he has gone. We can be with him in and through eternity. I don't know whether I'm going to be wearing a white robe. I don't think I qualify for one of those. But I've got to tell you, I'm going to be there. It's going to be a great day when we all go out to meet our Lord when he comes again in glory. I don't know whether we'll be presenting arms, but we'll certainly be presenting our palm leaves, because we come in peace, because we come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray for a moment now. Gracious Lord God, we give you thanks and praise for sending your Son to live amongst us. Help us to know above all else who he is and what he's done for us. Help us to lead lives that will honour him, so that at last, on the day when he returns, we can stand before him, honouring him in every way. And we ask this in his holy name. Amen.